Thousands of people are victimized each year through mortgage fraud. According to the FBI's Mortgage Fraud Report Year in Review, August of 2011, mortgage fraud continued at elevated levels in 2010. Although new laws and protections have been put in place to address mortgage fraud schemes have been particularly resilient and have adapted to economic changes and modifications in lending practices. In 2011 alone, the FBI received 93,508 suspicious activities reports regarding mortgage fraud, totaling more than $3 billion in losses. This podcast series, both audio and visual, will invite experts from the field to share their experiences, the latest trends, and information, resources, and success stories in dealing with mortgage fraud. Today, I'll be your host, Chuck Sarowski. I'm a senior trainer with the National Crime Prevention Council. We hope you will find this series beneficial to your work and the resources we present helpful. For more information on the National Crime Prevention Council and our work in the mortgage fraud field, please visit us at ncpc.org/mortgage fraud. Today we have with us Mary Collins from Prudential, Connecticut. Mrs. Collins has been a professional realtor since 1999. She graduated in 1982 from Providence College with a Bachelor of Science in Business Management. Mary is licensed in Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Massachusetts, and active in all three multiple listing systems. Mrs. Collins is certified with major corporate relocation companies and also holds a certification in new homes and land development. She is an E-certified member of the Prudential Honor Society, top 12% nationally. She has been voted five-star realtor in the Connecticut Magazine for the past 3 years. Mrs. Collins' affiliations include the National Association of Realtors, Eastern Connecticut Association of Realtors, Connecticut Association of Realtors, Rhode Island Association of Realtors, and the Massachusetts Association of Realtors. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you.
We at NCPC are very happy to have you aboard. Mary, you've just heard some staggering numbers, and there is no doubt in the minds of many folks that mortgage fraud has played a part in the record number of foreclosures that we have seen over the last few years. However, lately we're starting to hear more and more about the use of short sales as an alternative to foreclosure. Today we're going to discuss several frequently asked questions in reference to foreclosures and short sales. Mary, first of all, can you explain for our audience the difference between foreclosure and a short sale?
Yes, and a great resource would be homeloanlearningcenter.com. A foreclosure is when the bank takes title to the house from a borrower in default, also called an REO or bank-owned. The bank is the seller. In a short sale, the borrower sells the property with the bank's permission for less than the outstanding mortgage balance. In many cases, the bank forgives the remaining debt, which is the difference between the sale price and the amount owed on the mortgage. A buyer would deal with the homeowner, but also wait for a short sale approval.
Now, one of the questions that we get asked a lot when we're talking about short sales is, do you have to be behind on your mortgage in order to do a short sale?
Well, the short answer is no. You do not have to be behind. It's probably better for your credit if you're not behind. But you should talk to your attorney. He would advise you because some processes go much quicker when you have the advice of attorney, and the bank would listen if you are behind. So,
So are there like, is there like a specialized area for the attorneys that when if you're looking for one of these attorneys, is there a special kind of attorney you should look for?
Yes, there are a lot of attorneys now that make most of their business with short sales and foreclosures. Also find a realtor who specializes in short sale, and they can steer you to the best attorney in your area because it's so important to have the right representation.
Great point, great point. Can you tell us or discuss some of the possible ramifications of a foreclosure on the average person's ability to get credit in the future versus short sales?
This is very important. In a foreclosure, it'll remain on public record on a person's credit history for 10 years. Where a short sale, they are not reported on your credit history. The loan is only reported as paid in full or settled. Foreclosures affect future and current employment and security clearances, and since a short sale is not reported, they do not challenge any security clearance or employment. A foreclosure can lower your credit scores from 250 to over 300 points, and they typically will affect scores for over 3 years. And if all the payments are made, a short sale effect can be as brief as 12 to 18 months and lower the score as little as 50 points. Fannie Mae eligibility is much longer for a foreclosure, 5 to 7 years. But a short sale waiting period is about 2 years to reapply for a government loan.
Wow, it seems like there's a lot of great reasons why a short sale is a much better decision than allowing it to go to foreclosure. But one of the things that we hear often from folks are that short sales can be very, very long and tedious process. And in the end, there's really no guarantee that their offer will even get accepted by the bank. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. The banks do seem to be getting better at moving the process along. You can look up at the nationalmortgagesettlement.com. It's especially good with the five big banks of GMAC, Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, Citi, and Wells Fargo. They are under government scrutiny now to move the process along and have more people. You deal with the same processor through the whole process now, and it does seem to be much better. I advise my clients that they should expect it to be a long process, up to 6 months. And also, it's much more difficult when there's two mortgages, a first and a second. It will take much longer.
Oh, that's awesome. And so in your experience then, you have seen recently that the process has started to get a little bit better?
Yes, I have. Definitely they're trying to get, the banks see short sales as a better process for them because they're going to make much more money on the sale of the property than if they let it go to foreclosure, because once an owner moves out, the property is, vandalized, copper pipes are stolen, the pipes burst, it's just a mess. So they're better off having a short sale and they get much more money for their problems.
Mary, this has been very enlightening and awesome information. Do you have any final tips for folks as they are deciding whether they should do a short sale as a buyer or a seller?
Yes, have patience. It is a long process and there is a lot of paperwork that needs to be done. Avoid the scams and pitfalls. It must be an arm's length transaction, meaning the buyers and sellers cannot be related. It must be transparent, meaning that they can't have any side deals behind the bank's back. No cash payments or kickbacks to anyone involved. And don't embellish the hardship letter. Be honest. Not everyone is eligible for a short sale. You have to prove hardship. Some examples are a serious illness, job loss, divorce, relocation for a job. If you have the funds, the banks will go after them. Another scam that has come to light is banks and distressed home sellers stand to lose more than $375 million this year from a short sale scam that has the sellers and banks agreeing to sell homes at a very undervalued price, according to a new study by CoreLogic. Here's how the scam often works. Borrowers who are underwater or in financial distress are approached, often by an investment group, and persuaded to sell the property in a short sale or at a lower price. Soon after the bank accepts the lowball offer, the investment group then resells the home to legitimate buyers at a higher price.
Oh, that's incredible. And thank you for sharing these tips with our viewers, Mary. It certainly has been a pleasure having you with us today. We certainly look forward to talking to you in the near future. This podcast is presented by the National Crime Prevention Council and the Office for Victims of Crime in the U.S. Department of Justice. This podcast series is supported by grant number 2011-VFGXK021. Points of view or opinions in this podcast are those of the author and do not necessarily reflect the official position or policies of the United States Department of Justice and the National Crime Prevention Council. Again, thank you so much, Mary, for joining us. And
thank you. It was my pleasure.
And it was great. Hopefully we get a chance to do this again. And for those of you that are out there, please continue to look on our website, again, at www.ncpc.org for upcoming podcasts and webinars. Thank you.